A reading from the prophet Ezekiel. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness round about it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it were, gleaming bronze, and from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the form of men, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings and on their four sides they had human hands, and the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. They went every one straight forward, without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man in front. The four had the face of a lion on the right side. The four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four had the face of an eagle at the back. Such were their faces. And their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, without turning as they went. In the midst of the living creatures, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures darted to and fro, like a flash of lightning. Now as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel upon the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of chrysolite, and the four had the same likeness, their construction being, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. When they went in any of their four directions, without turning as they went. The four wheels had rims, and they had spokes, and their rims were full of eyes round about. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them, and when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Over the heads of the living creatures there was the likeness of a firmament, shining like crystal, spread out above their heads. And under the firmament their wings were stretched out straight, one toward another, and each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of many waters, like the thunder of the Almighty, a sound of tumult like the sound of a host. When they stood still, they let down their wings, and there came a voice from above the firmament over their heads. When they stood still, they let down their wings. And above the firmament over their heads there was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness, as it were, of a human form. And upwards from what had the appearance of his loins, I saw, as it were, gleaming bronze, like the appearance of fire enclosed round about it. And downward from what had the appearance of his loins, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And there was brightness round about him. Like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. The word of the Lord. We hear in this reading of the prophet Ezekiel's fantastical vision of the angels. And if we read on, we will learn that this is the vision of the glory of the Lord leaving the temple in Jerusalem on account of the faithfulness of the people. And these cherubim, these angels, are the ones who accompany the glory of the Lord. And you can see just how deeply and mysteriously this glory of the Lord is couched and hidden from us. Ezekiel doesn't say he saw the glory of the Lord. He doesn't say he saw the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He says he saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He cannot look on it directly. And he actually spends most of his vision describing not the Lord himself, this appearance of a human form and all its fire and lightning, but He spends most of the time talking about these angels, these cherubim, the living creatures, before that surround the glory of the Lord. They are more visible to them. He can understand them slightly better and say more about them. These angels, even though they're far beyond us and the vision in some ways is difficult to understand, these creatures we can understand better than God himself. And yet, these creatures are beyond us. This is why Ezekiel's vision can be so hard to follow. Now, some of you may or may not have been listening closely to all the details, but we hear that they have four faces, that they are accompanied by wheels, that their spirit is in the wheels, they move along with their wheels. Sometimes they're standing still, sometimes they're moving in a straight line, but we also read that they dart about. How do they dart about while staying in a straight line? And what Ezekiel is trying to tell us is that the glory of the angels is something really beyond our human understanding. It's a concept too great for us. A helpful analogy might be, for example, I teach chemistry, and I found that some students, of course, have an easier time understanding the concepts. Other students might have to stick simply with answering certain problems according to the rules. Those who can understand the concepts a little more easily or who spend time understanding these concepts, they can use these concepts in their mind to then make sense of all the rules and follow them more easily. And this is what we do in life. We try to understand more deeply, get at the rule of what's going on, a wider explanation, rather than understanding one appearance after the other. But of course, we have our limits. Angels, on the other hand, they don't understand in this way. They understand through much greater concepts. And they understand many things at once, instantly, without effort, things we could never understand. And to understand an angel would be, in a way, to have its understanding of all the things in the world under these very simple concepts. To understand God himself would be to understand all things that he has done under this one idea of what God is. Such is impossible for us. We are very simple, lowly humans. And so the glory of God is, as it were, hidden from us between all the choirs of angels. And these angels are perfect in so many ways that we can't even conceive of together. And so the prophet, instead of giving us one image to think of an angel, gives us a whole bunch of images that get at little bits of it. All right, the angel has courage like a lion. It is not bound by our short-sightedness. It does not fear obstacles. The angel simply goes and loves the good without fear. The angel has the sight of an eagle. It comprehends all things, as it were, from above. And yet it also has the likeness of man, because just as man is greatest in the order of material bodily things, the angel is greater than us in the order of spiritual beings. And so by putting together all these little bits and concepts of the angel, Ezekiel helps us understand a little bit of what the angels are, even if in just a small way, even if it's still shrouded in mystery. And these angels in themselves, they're arranged in a beautiful hierarchy, because there are higher angels and lower angels. The higher angels understand God in a deeper way and enlighten the lower angels, who get smaller bits of that wisdom. And so it goes down the choir. The angels at the bottom understand a little bit of what God is through the higher angels. The angels at the very top, the seraphim and the cherubim, they understand God more beautifully, more fully. Not quite in himself, not quite perfectly. They are not God, but they understand in a much deeper way. And so all these hierarchies, these choirs of angels, are beautifully arranged together. And so this is why Ezekiel describes them in such a way. They move in a very tight formation, all together. Their wings touch each other. They enclose the glory of the Lord perfectly. Right? There's a perfection to this angelic hierarchy. As humans in our life, we seek, of course, to see God in heaven. And some of us, according to the love in our hearts at the time of our death, will receive a greater share of this glory. But we can never have this, the minds of the angels. And so the angels will always be higher than us, right? The heavenly choir is the angels in the middle, closest to God, radiating outward, and we will be furthest on the outside. And this is a beautiful hierarchy, all right? It's something amazing God has created, that we can understand in tiny little ways now, but we'll see fully in heaven. And yet there is something strange about this hierarchy. And it is that in the midst of it, closest to God, closest to the glory of the Lord that Ezekiel barely describes, it's not a cherubim or even a seraphim, not the highest angels, but a human being, a woman, Mary, the mother of God. See, Mary was so perfected by the grace of God alive in her heart through her immaculate conception that she really was purified to understand the things of God in a way of which human nature itself is not capable, in a way far deeper than we can imagine. We, in our lives, can never hope to be purified to be like what the angels are in heaven, but Mary did not so much need to be purified because she was already conceived immaculately, and so she only grew in this completely unimaginable love for God her whole life long as she delved deeper into the mystery of who she is as the mother of God, as the one who brings him into existence by her love and devotion, first by saying yes to God, then by giving him life in her womb, then by raising him, and then by returning him to the Father on the cross. This is a great love that comprehends all things. We understand the world as it is in little bits and pieces. And we can't even really understand in a deep way who we are. We can know what we are, we can know things about ourselves, but we cannot in one simple concept understand ourselves. But the angels can, and God can, and the Blessed Mother can quite easily understand us through her deep love that she shares with God, through her special access to the mystery of God's love for us, his creating love. In the midst of our life, we may often bring our concerns to the Blessed Mother. And maybe we do not always have the words. We do not always know how to give and receive our concerns, give and receive this love, this exchange with the Blessed Mother. All we can do is quietly lay something before her. But we have to do this with the complete confidence that, in a deeper way than any other human being can understand, she sees exactly who we are. She sees the depths of our problems and the difficulties of those we love. She understands our pain, not only because she has lived it, but because she understands it through this love of God alive in her soul, by which she knows in an incredible and deep way all things in themselves. And so she never tires of loving us, because by this one act of love she has had her whole life, this act of love for God, she loves all her children. And in bringing ourselves before her, we do not simply depend on our ability to put our prayers into words, to put them before her, but we simply lay them before her feet, knowing that she understands in a way greater than the cherubim, higher than the seraphim, that she intercedes for us, and that the same act of love by which she brought our Savior into the world, she knows and loves us in our trials as well. And so we all ask that the Immaculate Heart of Mary may intercede for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.